We got a lot to talk about today, talking about the culture of the team, talking about horrible off seasons, and where Devon Achane was ranked. You'll be surprised, or not. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another collective. I hope you guys are having a fantastic Monday, and I hope you guys had a fantastic 4th of July, and you still have all your fingers.
JPP reference.
There you go. Real quicker, shout out the sponsors, Prize Picks. You play 5, you get 50 instantly using that promo code HMA. We got the World Cup happening right now. They got a ton of great stuff over there for that, as well as SeatGeek. We're gonna listen to past me talking about SeatGeek. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app. Again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video. We should hire that man. He's a very attractive man. yeah, use SeatGeek. I'm going to be using SeatGeek when I go to the MetLife Takeover for sure. Because I don't sit up. When you go to the Takeover, they like sit all the way up there.
Up high. Yeah.
Yeah. And if I'm going to a game, I want to see the game. And I can't get in the press box because.
And I will mention my wife. Got tickets to a Tame Impala concert for my daughter's birthday this week.
What is Tame Impala?
It's a band. It's music. The less I know, the better is maybe the most, I don't know, their most well-known song, which I know you have zero clue. TD, go ahead, look it up real quickly. Come on, give us the full history of Tame Impala. No? Okay.
It's really short for Tame Impala. Tame Impala is short for Tim and Paula. Your daughter will know what I'm talking about.
Anywho, we're going to jump into this. Omar's got to go, and I want to make sure we get as much knowledge out of that cranium as we possibly can. So is Miami a winner? Now, you guys got to realize something that is watching this. We can only fit so much words into that little section over there. So essentially, we're talking about the culture. And we're talking about three things that necessarily need to happen to kind of change the culture, make us into that winning culture that we've seen. You know, the Heat have championships. Hell, the Marlins have championships. Panthers have championships. Miami's sitting here like, hey, 1973, we had them. So three things that need to happen. Let's start with TD. I always go this way, but we're going to go this way and swing around to me. So, yeah, TD, three things that need to happen.
We are talking about winning, and you know TD thinks the team is going to be 11 wins, 11-10 wins.
Point so he can, yes, at the stage.
Correction, I don't think I know. three things that need to happen for the team to win, which I think are going to happen. First off, Jeff Hafley is going to prove himself to be a great coach during games and outside of games. When the team actually goes through some moments of adversity, you know, I believe we'll finally start to get that over the hump results. And I think he's the right guy to deliver that. Number two, Malik Willis just got to be better than Tua Tagovailoa. And he will. That's like a given. He's going to be better than Tua Tagovailoa, which means that we actually can win a playoff game. That means we actually can win a big game. That means we actually can win a game later in the season.
A winning record.
Oh, excuse me. Listen, Malik Willis is going to have a winning record, but winning records, though, isn't the end all be, okay? We see some teams in the AFC South that get in with losing records. But anyway, and last but not least, the one thing that the Miami Dolphins have to do this year to be a winner is not be soft and have the right culture. And I think it's already in the building. It's already in the building. So those are my three things. They execute them three things. AFC Championship.
Okay. I'll take over here. I'm switching it up. I agree with some of them. Jeff Hafley, definitely. Coaching is obviously incredibly important in the NFL. You can have all the talent in the world. You don't have the coaching. Not going to happen there. I do agree with the quarterback play. It has to be better, especially when you see the teams in the NFL right now. You see the Super Bowl.
Better than Tua or better than what? What is the standard? What is better?
Anything better than Tua is good enough.
It can't be good.
25 Tua. Sorry, you need much better.
Much better than Tua.
I don't want good enough anymore. That's where the culture can change. You don't want good enough, right? So if Malik isn't on that trajectory to be a top five, then you need to have that discussion, because that's what the culture is about, right? Do you want that Buffalo culture where every year it's Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, or at least they're going to win a playoff game? Same thing with Baltimore. Same thing with the Chiefs. They have the quarterback. So I don't want to be just good enough. I want to be, you know, I want to have an elite quarterback. So, yes, quarterback play is important. And then what Hafley does, Sullivan, you got to find the talent. You got to have the evaluators. And, you know, you can really change the culture by obviously winning. But if you can start drafting better and not have to go out there and be the culture we used to, where you just throw money at the problems and hope they get fixed. I could definitely change the culture.
They were close. There was nothing wrong with that approach. There was nothing wrong. It didn't work, but they were in a position where they were going to make a move. Is anybody bitching at the Rams for throwing money and doing F them picks?
I can't believe it.
You got to look at the picks that they actually made. They have.
Hold on, wait a minute. You supported the approach?
I did support when they went the second day. They went out and got Tyreek Hill. At that point, you basically made the move.
Yeah.
Might as well go for it. So when Jalen Ramsey is available by trade, absolutely go get it.
But here's the difference between what the Dolphins did and what the Rams did is the Rams said F them picks, right? Didn't have first round picks forever. Right. But they still had the front office and the GM to find the talent to get the Puka Nacuas. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
Would have those 4 or 5 draft picks, but they would find the talent. Whereas the Dolphins, we can't draft talent. We can, but it's few and far between. So that's the difference.
No, that's fair. But the other issue also is the guy for whom they did the most of them picks was a quarterback who was like not a problem player and also like a stud. And it's amazing how you talk about the Bills and their culture. Yeah, their culture is named Josh Allen. I mean,
that's why. No, but if you notice when I talked about the Bills and their culture, it was in my little subcategory of quarterbacks. You want to have, if that's a quarterback that they have, tell me you don't want a top five quarterback.
I'll make it quick because I know Omar's got to go, so we got to give him his time. To me, and I'll just kind of reiterate your points, but just add on to him. I want Jeff Hafley to be X's and O's Brian Flores with a better ability to relate to players and the other members of his staff.
Yes.
That would be very, very key. Malik Willis obviously was help. This whole thing about the culture and all that. For me, I want the Dolphins to be situationally tougher than they were. This notion the Dolphins weren't tough, they were built by on finesse. Mm-hmm. When you get Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, I'm sorry, you're going to be a finesse offense. Now the shift has gone away. I want them to be able to get the 3rd and 1 when the other team knows you're going to run the ball on 3rd and 1. That would be, to me, a big step toward the winner. Omar, floor is yours.
Yeah, I think a lot of you made the points that I was going to make. I think the only difference for me is following through what you said in terms of toughness, I need the offensive line to be more physical, more stout, consistent. And I think they were in the second half of last season. I don't think Devon Achane got those yards and became a Pro Bowler all by himself. Mm-hmm. There were guys that were burrowing open holes, driving the line of scrimmage. Come on, let's give them a little credit. The metrics
and broken tackles, like, I mean, jumped up big time.
It was a respectable mix. It was a respectable.
Yeah. Sure.
That's cute and good. let's be able to protect the quarterback and have a physical running game. I don't even care if it's running back running assisted. If you can have an effective top five running attack, I think you give yourself a chance. Now, let's go to the quarterback. If the standard to make the playoffs is Josh Allen, because clearly you have to win the AFC East, then you need him to be elite, because there are two quarterbacks that are in the MVP conversation in the AFC East. Am I wrong? Or
Malik and who?
Oh, you come around on Drake May, Omar?
Not really. But I mean, he was in the running for the MVP last year. So yeah, as was Tua in 2023. We forget that. But
when the team MVP was Tyreek Hill, sure, we'll go with that.
Okay, that's fair. And then Malik has to become an efficient quarterback, not just with his legs, but with his arm. Third down efficiency, red zone efficiency. That's how quarterbacks should always be judged, evaluated, and also limiting turnovers. If we can do that, if the Dolphins can do that, I think they give themselves a chance to win every Sunday, especially if they have a running game. And then it comes to the defense. This is Jeff Hafley's specialty, and I've always said this, and I truly do believe this, what got you hired will ultimately get you fired. And if you look at Mike McDaniel's career, what got him fired? The fact that, well, other than allegedly running a loosey-goosey program, Tua made a real significant regression. And he was hired to be Tua's QB whisperer. And ultimately, Tua broke. So, we'll see what Tua does with the Falcons next year. But, in 2025, I don't think Tua can argue in any way, fashion that he struggled mightily. Now, would most quarterbacks struggle without Tyreek Hill? Probably. So, but that's not an excuse. The offense has to be productive, but the defense has to show up. And yes, I know there aren't some big names on there, but what happens if you get Chop Robinson to blossom? What happens if you get Juju Brents to stay healthy? What happens if you get Dante Trader to blossom? What happens if Chris Johnson plays like a legitimate first round pick? What happens if you find another pass rusher, Ja Uche becomes reliable? What happens if these defensive tackles take the next step? The next step up. If those things all happened, they will be a top 10 defense.
It's a lot of ifs.
Yeah, it is. It is.
If my mother had wheels, she'd be a bicycle.
Well, Alan's about to say his favorite if.
Here we go. Grandma had one, she'd be grandpa. There you go.
Yeah, it's a lot. Speaking about negativity, are we going to talk about the worst offseason? Is that what we're doing here? Ranking them or
the worst roster?
It's the worst roster, I guess. Yeah. Was it ESPN that ranked the Dolphins as having the worst roster offseason? Is this their survey of all the GMs and executives that they claim they speak to privately? No. And they rank? No? Okay.
No.
Their own in-house people.
Yeah, no. Because
32nd out of 32, which is pretty low.
And then watch how the season goes. And all
is there any lower? I would argue that the Cardinals might have had a worst offseason. And here's why. Because the Cardinals didn't address their quarterback situation properly.
Well, but that's a different discussion, because I don't think the Dolphins had a bad offseason at all in terms of resetting. If you want to talk in terms of talent comparison between 2025 and 2026, yeah, the Dolphins had a pretty bad offseason because, again, they got rid of so many proven players and brought in so many unproven commodities and put themselves in a position of needing a whole lot of what ifs to materialize. But for the long-term vision, to me, that actually was a good offseason. And one of them outlets may have been ESPN, actually gave them an A-.
ESPN say we had one of the best off seasons, like top five, but we are the 32nd best team. in the league. This is why they don't know what they're talking about. Y'all need to listen to me. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Everybody got opinions. So, yeah. I mean, I never really pay stock into, you know, at this point of the year, as y'all know, and everybody who's watching knows, people are just thirsty for clicks. They start writing stuff that gets them clicks. It is what it is. You rank every position. You rank every offseason, blah, 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 blah. I'm actually doing a ranking in the Miami Herald of the top 10 highest paid players on the Dolphins and then the 10 biggest bargains. But when I looked, when I did the statistical breakdown of the contracts, I did find something that was a little bit troubling and disturbing. Outside of the 30 players who signed minimum contracts with the Dolphins, and there was 30, which is a large amount of people who are taking minimum wage. There are only, I believe, six players who are making more than $7 million this year on this team. Usually there's double, there's close to, there's at least 12. Not just that, but when you go even further, the bottom two players on this team are bottom two players in the top 10 salary wise are Tyrell Dotson, who's making $3 million this season. And then up one spot up from him is Greg Dulcich. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Dulcich. What? Greg Dulcich, who you all know got the second highest mediocre contract from the Dolphins in terms of a one-year $3.25 million contract. That was big money for the Dolphins. And literally, it is big money for this team because, like, because collectively you're probably paying more for Tua this year than the bottom 53 on your roster.
Mm. So for then, those who keep getting tired of us,
I mean, that's the approach they were going to take. They're going to sacrifice 2026 to get rid of the big cap numbers this, I mean, down the line. We knew that was going to be the case. I mean, it's like, and I'm looking at over the cap right now. I see less than you said six players. How many players? You said 10 players, making $7 million. I don't see that.
Yeah, but I factor in, I don't, you know, I don't care about cap number or whatever. I go what is going to be in your paycheck in 2026. Correct. So I go signing bonuses, base salary, roster bonuses, workout bonuses, you know,
all of those. Rookies you may have gotten already.
Yeah. The rookies, the two rookies are top five in salary because they're signing bonuses. But
correct.
You know, that's just the reality of where this team is as a franchise and an organization. But ultimately, to me, and I say this again, how the Dolphins offseason will be evaluated is based on how well this team can evaluate and develop talent. Can John Eric Sullivan, did they see Zane Anderson and maybe Omar Brown? There's another one they got from Green Bay. And say, oh, those are future starters in the NFL. They can help us. Did they see Lonnie Johnson or Robert Beal or Josh Uche and say, man, those guys, they're really underutilized. They're underdeveloped. They're they're not utilized to the best of their capabilities. I don't know if that's the case. And then also, can they develop that talent? Like, you know, most of everybody will be focused on the development of the rookies and that's cool. Rookies are going to do what rookies do, but you should be focused on the development of the third-year players, the Chop Robinsons, the second-year players, the Jordan Phillips, the Dante Traders. Those are the guys where you're going to make the most jump, the biggest jump in your
career. Those free agents that they signed to me are not going to be the barometer because like they're all like reclamation projects, guys at crossroads, guys who haven't proven anything, and you sign them for a veteran minimum salary for a reason. To me, the barometer is going to be the draft picks. Can you get Chop Robinson, Kenneth Grant, maybe Jonah to bring their game up, and then Malik Willis? That, to me, is going to be the barometer. And with the rookies, the rookie draft picks, we won't know for
2 years.
Next year, maybe the year after that.
But yeah,
One last thing. I don't think they should be held responsible. If, for example, Zen Anderson was a career special teamer in the Green Bay. If he doesn't pan out and remains a career special teamer with the Dolphins, I don't think that's a knock on Sullivan.
So you don't feel like he's got to find some sort of gem? He's got to find something, have added something to this team other than Malik Willis?
That's not the barometer. To me, it's the draft picks and it's Malik Willis. For me, I mean.
I just think collectively he needs to add something. And what I mean by that is, out of all the options you have, you gotta go after this season is over. The last game is played after the AFC Championship. That last game is played. You have to be able to say, those four or five players right there, we didn't know if they could be a part of the future, and now we do. That's all. That can be free agents. That can be the three-piece, which is Kenneth Grant, Chop, and Jonah. That can be the draft picks. As long as you got four or five that you're like, we got five guys that we're moving forward with for the future that we did not know that going into last season. So I think it a lot of people are going to be in a rush to give unfair expectations of John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley, in my opinion.
Did somebody talk about unfair expectations?
Yeah, he's still dealing with the leftovers.
All pro unfair expectations, really?
What are you saying? See, Alan, mine are realistic. You just don't see it yet.
10 wins, realistic. Okay,
that was funny. I want to hear about unfair expectations. No.
I'm talking about player development expectations. Team success, it's on the way.
Malik Willis has player development. Malik Willis doesn't need player development. Consider him in his
six. I already think he's a top seven quarterback in the NFL. Oh, okay. So, I mean, y'all just don't see it.
That was
so.
Yeah. I hope you're right. I really truly do hope you're right. But yeah, it's funny that you said four or five. I mean, that's a short list for me. That you gotta. I need you to have more players developed than wins.
Give me your realistic candidates, not draft picks, not Malik Willis, of all like the free agents you signed. Give me four or five guys who you think it's even mildly realistic to expect, or they're part of the solution moving forward after this year.
You talking about me and free agents?
Your TD or Doug, whoever. I mean, this is
Juju, Dante.
No, Juju was already here. He doesn't count. Dante
the new ads?
That's what you were talking about before.
No, I just said I want to make sure you know how to evaluate the rookies and the additions. Like somebody got to play. Somebody got to be good.
I had to pick, I would say Josh Uche. If he can get back to his 2022 play, he could be good for this team.
That's a long time ago.
That's
4 years ago.
Jalen Tolbert. Ben Sims.
Jamari.
Can we, you know.
You guys are straining. This is like a workout at the gym.
I wasn't even.
Alan, I give you my five. That would mean success.
Go ahead.
Chris Johnson.
First round pick. I said no draft.
Okay. If we're not going draft picks, then you're not getting four or five out of that.
That's what Omar was talking about.
That's what Omar was saying. That's why I said you have to be able to, out of your draft picks, out of the three-piece from last year and the free agents and stuff, get four or five. That's all.
I
just said talent procurement. I mentioned draft picks as well. It wasn't just the free agents. Somebody's got to start at safety. You only got one draftee and Dante Trader. Somebody's got to start there. Hopefully, you know what you've been looking at for 3 years.
Or part of it is you're biding your time until 2027, resetting and establishing your foundation or culture, whatever you want to say, and getting your cap straight and all that.
I mean, but for you to have two vacant safety spots and this is the best that you got to offer me, you know, that's not good. I don't feel confident.
That's part of the blueprint moving forward. I think they're confident in their ability to develop Dante Trader Jr. And then let's see what we can get out of Lonnie Johnson Jr. or Michael Taft or Zane Anderson and all that. But is it realistic to expect any of those three guys to be like, okay, they're going to be starters in 2027 and key players on that defense?
I don't think they care. I don't think they care if they miss on safety this year. I mean, they would love to. They would love to, but that was never a real investment. They couldn't do everything. He said it in the presser. You know, we couldn't do everything. And that was one of the areas that I know that they're probably going to be heavily invested on next offseason. if these guys don't shock them. And I think they already know that today, that the real priority at safety is going to be next year. But one thing I will hold them to, they got to hit on at least three draft picks.
Yeah.
With three of these draft picks.
At least.
Yeah.
It's just three.
Dude, they have, when you count six in the first three rounds, eight in the first four rounds, got to be better.
Yeah, but you also got a guy who was hurt in Chris Bell.
Then you shouldn't have drafted him if you're going to already make an excuse for him.
Yeah, but we're not going to ask him to be
not Debo this today. Year. Not this
yeah,
year.
That's a, yeah.
Oh, I'm talking about like.
No, Alan, I'm talking about this season. Oh, okay. Three of those guys got to show up and be like, okay, we made some. Those three guys. I don't care what order. It could be Caleb. I don't care what order it comes in. Three of those draft picks need to look like we are good for the future at those three positions.
Three out of seven. That you're pretty.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you look at those draft picks though. You got to hit. You can't Chris Greer this with two. If that.
No, but three out of seven is like, it's not great. I mean, it would be
high draft pick seven. I mean, that was the first, second, and third round.
And fourth. They got eight players minus Chris Bell. That's seven.
Yeah, you gotta hit three of them. That's not even half.
I know. To me, like at least four.
That's pushing it. Okay.
They're going to play. We'll figure out if they could play. Bottom line. Like, do we know if anybody in last year's crop can play? No, not really.
No answers from last year.
No.
Jordan Phillips?
You know Jordan Phillips is what he's
going to do. They were on the field, but is Jordan Phillips a starter for 16 other teams in this league?
Weren't you like singing his praises, ranting and raving about
that? I like him. I like him. I don't know if he's a starter for 16 other teams in this league.
You know,
if they run a 3-4 and they need a nose tackle, he could be. I mean, he started 16 games last year. I think Jordan Phillips.
He's an NFL starter. On 32 teams when you got two top-notch guys, then no. But, I mean, he's an NFL starter.
Is he a starter for 16 other teams in the league?
Yeah, I think so.
But I think you know, we know what we have with him. I think he's pretty solid.
You were only six teams were worse against you than the run, and he produced no sacks.
He's not a game, nor will he ever produce big sack numbers. Forget that. That's not who he is.
All right,
disrupt and be an anchor.
Correct. And he's going to have a role in the NFL for probably several years as a run.
Christian Wilkinson didn't produce big sack numbers until 2023.
Yeah, he had only one. Yeah, but it's not just all about the sacks either. Is that exactly. I think you noticed him a little bit more than we did Phillips last year.
Let's real quick change pace. We're going to talk about Prize Picks. And they got some really good ones. Pull it up on my phone that they got going on with the my brain's not working World Cup. They got so the gentleman that was suspended and is coming back, they have a nice little promo on him for 0.5 pass attempts. You can get that one, and then they, you know, go on there, check it out, use that promo code HMA. You play $5, you get 50 instantly. They have a ton of great stuff. They also have teams. So if you just want to pick your teams and you don't want to do individual daily lineups, you can do that as well. Super fun, super easy. Click the link in the description. And let's get to this Devon Achane ranking. So they do this every year. Jeremy Fowler, executive coaches, scouts, ranked top NFL positions. And the order was, so today's running backs, and then it's cornerbacks, edge rushers, defensive tackles, tight ends, offensive tackles, interior offensive linemen, quarterbacks, offensive ball, off-ball linebackers, wide receivers, and safeties. And running backs, like I said, was today, and Devon Achane was number 8. The guys ahead of him is James Cook at 7, Derrick Henry at 6, Jonathan Taylor at 5, Christian McCaffrey at 4, Saquon at 3, 2 is Jamari Gibbs, and number 1 is Bijan Robinson. But they did say, and they made a preference to say, that this isn't about the exact words I'll read. This was not a five-year projection or career achievement award, but meant to answer a simple question. Who are the best players right now?
Wow.
So that's what they're going on. They're not saying, you know, because if you go off of that, then obviously, you know, some guys should be ranked higher, like Derrick Henry and Saquon, than others. But at number eight is Devon Achane. They said Achane's production in his first three NFL seasons, amassing more than 4,300 scrimmage yards, makes him hard to ignore. Nearly half of Achane's votes were inside the top five. His 5.62 career rushing yards are the most by any running back in NFL history, with a minimum of 500 attempts. An explosive play waiting to happen, a veteran NFL defensive coach said. Elite receiver out of the backfield, Achane is the ultimate make you miss back. Since entering the league, Achane ranks first in yards after catch per attempt at 3.8. Do you guys think Achane is respectively ranked, or should he be higher or lower?
I can't name a guy higher than him who I would replace him with. And I looked up the productivity when I was looking up his what he should make contract wise, and eighth seems about where he slotted now. I would definitely put Derrick Henry still ahead of him. There isn't a day I would choose him over Derrick Henry. Jahmyr Gibbs has outproduced him. So has Bijan Robinson, who I think he's very comparable to. So I have no objection to where he's placed. And in fact, I probably, if I looked harder, I might put a sneak another guy ahead of him. I'm not sure.
Who?
I don't know. I don't know.
You're just a hater.
Let me look.
some pretty good running backs out there. And it's like, I remember, a couple of years ago, it seemed like the running back position was down, and now it's back on an upswing big time.
Mm-hmm.
Kenneth Walker.
I'd take Achane over to Kenneth Walker.
Kenneth Walker is ninth too. Hall is 10th.
Brees Hall is 10th. But yeah, it's like it's one of those where it's like it seems low based on what he did, and yet who do you bump him over? Go ahead, TD. Who do you bump him over?
It's two guys I'll bump him over. Because Doug, you were very clear. This is about who's the best right now, not what you've been, right? Christian McCaffrey coming off one of his least productive seasons. I don't know why. Yeah, he's a better running back to me, but we're talking about right now, not his career. His career, yes. But right now, I'm sorry. I mean, he's been hurt and not as productive, in my opinion. His worst yards per attempt.
Because he was hurt when he's not hurt.
Regardless, you're on the field, you playing, what you producing. I mean, that's what he's giving. His worst yards per attempt. And I'm sorry, it's another guy that's ahead of him by one. No, James Cook is not better than Achane. He is not, okay? This is a result of Josh Allen also being a threat, being a mobile threat. Okay, that's all it is.
And you could say Devon Achane. Some of Devon Achane's productivity is a result of Tyreek Hill over the course of three years.
Well. That's why I told you a few weeks ago, Omar. I was skeptical about Achane until Tyreek got hurt, and he still did his thing. So absolutely. That in all those yards after contact that he got last year, I was always wondering, well, I don't know if Achane is a tackle breaker, though. He get these wide holes and he go. Last year, he proved that. So all of that went out of the window for me. And here's the thing. Dolphin fans, this is why I'm so gung-ho on this team. Now, Achane will have that Josh Allen effect that Cook have being a mobile quarterback with Malik. That threat of Malik taking off and run is going to have those linebackers hesitant. They can't just go all in on Malik they can't go all in on Achane because Malik will take off. And when he keeps them at bay and make them think twice, then Achane's going to go off. That's how it's going to happen.
And you know how teams are going to play you? They're going to put eight in the box and force you to throw the ball. and see what
with
you
a
do.
Mobile quarterback who extend plays, which makes life easier for even mediocre receivers, and that's what Green Bay is built on.
Still got to play with eight, so you're gonna get 1-on-1.
Malik can beat it. Malik can beat it 1-on-1.
You make it sound so simple, TD. I hope it works out as simple as you make it sound. Because it's like
it is though, Allen. It's only the Dolphins that make it hard every year.
He ain't lying, but
they also have a different element of quarterback that they haven't had in a minute.
Yeah. When have we seen this element? When have we seen the element?
They used to run quarterback keepers with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, but this thing not the same. Come on.
Like I said, they used to run quarterback keepers with Ryan Tannehill.
Hey, man, Ryan Tannehill could run fast in a straight line.
Yes. Yes.
You're going to compare Ryan Tannehill mobility to Malik Willis.
No, but don't dismiss the idea that the Dolphins did not have a running quarterback dimension.
No, I respect that, Allen, because that's what they did in Tennessee. Nobody talks about how much Ryan Tannehill ran in Tennessee also with Derrick Henry as the running back. This is the element. It got him to the AFC Championship, and Ryan Tannehill made some big runs in Tennessee. Everybody going for Derrick Henry, and he taking off 30, 40 yards down the field. It's the element that we're not used to.
What year is that, 2020?
2019. Are you going to look it up? I'm looking up.
Yeah, I'm looking up because I'm interested.
Oh, yeah. Remember, I was a Tannehill fan. I was the big Tannehill fan. He had some major runs and big moments in games.
I don't think it was 2019. Let me check 2020. Listen,
there was a running element to the offense. It wasn't pretty. I had always said, and I'm not a Tannehill fan. Everybody in the world knows that. But I always said if he takes off running two or three times a game to get first downs, it would add a completely different element to the offense that teams would have to defend. But, you know, hey, Ryan made over $100 million in his career. He ain't crying about.
In 2020, he was the second rusher on the Titans, and he had 7 rushing touchdowns. He had 266 yards and 7 touchdowns.
That's not the year they went to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah. And then you had Derrick Henry, who had 2,027 rushing yards, so.
And it was always in that opportune moment. Everybody knew it was going to Derrick Henry. Nope. Easy pass.
Give you the naked boot.
That's the element we're going to have this year.
Okay. It's going to be interesting. That is something that I do talk about, especially when I talk about Kazmarek, because I could see them. Now, they probably won't, and this is me just playing Madden in my brain. But like on like a third and short type situation, and then, you know, little play action, you got the big wing, have Kazmarek block and go out, and then you have Malik roll out. And then Malik can either throw it to Kazmarek or, hey, Kazmarek's covered. I'm going to take off, run and get the first myself. We have now these situations where we can do that where we couldn't do that for the past, what, 3-4 years?
There's so many elements we couldn't do that we could do now. We could throw outside the numbers. Nine-yard out. You know, it's third and 7, 9-yard out. Some simple stuff.
Let's just see him complete a third down pass, okay?
Let's
see that. Let's see him be efficient in the red zone. I just want to see some efficient practices.
Unfair expectations, Omar. Unfair expectations. That's the key word. That's a key word for this episode. Unfair expectations.
We should change it. Unfair expectations. Let's get to some of these donations. Let's see what the people want to talk about. Call of Duty, love the name, says, was X's and Omar a reality TV show with Omar and the staff? Jesus Christmas. Can the Finns win in Las Vegas? I'm going to that game and would want to leave there happy. They can. They can win any game.
Vegas isn't better than the Dolphins.
I know. Why couldn't they win that game?
Yeah, that might be, you know, they could start 1-0.
They'll have Kirk Cousins. It's Kirk Cousins versus Malik Willis. Yeah. Who's Kirk Cousins
going to show up?
I don't even know Raiders receivers.
I don't even know who owned the Raiders roster.
They got Jeremiah Love.
It's Ashton Jeanty and it's
Max Crosby.
Max Power. Trey Tucker, Jalen Naylor, and Jack Beck.
Like I said, it's Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeanty.
That's all you got to worry about.
That's their receiving core, Doug?
That's the top three that they have on ESPN.
That might be a worse wide receiver core than the Dolphins.
I was just going to say, who's receiving core?
I think and again, you look at ESPN and they have us 32nd. I think if they didn't have Brock Bowers, then there could be a real argument that Raiders have a worse offense, because Brock Bowers versus Dulcich Bowers is much better. That's giving their offense the notch over Miami. You take Brock Bowers off there, and then you're kind of like,
Grandma had one, should be grandpa. I mean, we're back to that thing again. And the ranking of the rosters was the entire roster, wasn't just the offense. And it's the entire their roster. And that Raiders defense isn't very good either, but they have Max Crosby, who's a game changer.
And Quay Walker now, too. Quiddy Pay. N'Kobe Dean. They spent some money.
Yep. Man, we beat the Raiders. You're going to have a good time, Call of Duty.
Every year there's a cash minimum. Every 5 years is a cash minimum that teams have to actually spend to. The Raiders generally only spend when they have to satisfy the cash minimum, because their owner's cash poor.
They went cray cray with Tyler Linderbaum.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Tom Brady believes in center play.
Do you have good centers?
I was about to say, can we name one? David Andrews for a long time.
Yeah.
And then Dan Coppin also earlier on in his career.
The big difference from him and Peyton, because Peyton had Saturday. Mm-hmm. One of the best. Walt Dog said, go live at this time more often. We'll try to. I take the blame for that. This is my fault. We don't go live at this time more often, but we'll try to.
We will once training camp starts.
Yeah, because these guys are going to be working. True Finn fan with the Fivers says, year one of rebuild, one draft so far. Success this year should be measured by competency. A record needs not apply. Very little talent. I see.
So how do you prove competency if the record doesn't apply?
Same thing with 2019.
Unit rankings?
Progress throughout the games. Omar, progress throughout the season. You can lose a game. You can lose a game and still have a decent number of players play well. It doesn't automatically, you lost, therefore everybody sucked.
But if I can't close out a game or finish or have my players rise to the occasion in critical moments.
You can still prove with that. Don't get blown out.
Dante Trader had 12 tackles doesn't mean he's going to be great. I've said, this is my standard. I want more players developed, and I'm absolutely certain that they are going to be starters for the next 3 years. Then wins. Give me that, and I'll be happy.
But you just contradicted yourself, though. Seriously,
I think this team to at least win 5 games. So that means you got to develop 6 players.
That's fine. But again, the player development, and I'm with you there, the player development is more important than the one loss record. Just like for Malik Willis, the stats are not the end all be all as to whether you move forward with
him. Y'all better not talk about the stats, because y'all know I got a stat monster. Y'all better not say a single word.
Passer rating, you know, you're
wrong. It better be wins and efficiency and rushing yards.
Alan, what was Malik's passer rating?
Yeah, it was cray cray, but again,
it was higher than okay.
Yeah, it was one star, and he appeared in like 5 games or something. Simmer down.
Noel said, "Is this a record year for Dolphins 1 year prove it contracts, or were there more in 2019? No, I think there were more this year.
No, not even close.
2019 had a lot.
Actually, somebody here did the research. Guess who?
You? Okay.
Of course it did, because I was like, I was curious about this. Noel, you and I were like this, you know? And it was like, I came up with like UDFAs and newcomers, new faces in training in the offseason roster, and it's basically exactly the same. What happened in 2019, though, is every week it was like wave, claim, wave, claim, wave, claim. And I don't know if it's going to be quite as extensive this year once the season starts. But as it stands right now, it's about the same number.
Could you, if you had to, gun to your head, do you think it'll be like that?
No, but they better start. They better claim players, because I think that goes back to the Bill Parcells years when they actually had good teams. And Bill Parcells was a talent evaluator. He always said, we need to churn the bottom of our roster. And I think I've heard John Eric Sullivan say that as well. Like, the goal is to churn the bottom of the roster. I absolutely was repulsed by Mike McDaniel. You know, y'all know I like Mike McDaniel. But I was repulsed by Mike McDaniel's everybody safe mentality. Mm-hmm. Everybody's my buddy. And sure. nobody can get cut. Nobody can get promoted.
Bottom of the roster, they did not.
They did not.
You have a Durham Smythe bone to pick, because Durham Smythe never lost his job until he finally did. But
no, they didn't turn the bottom of the roster. There was rarely an instance when what's that horrible offensive lineman I keep picking on? Keon Smith. There was rarely an instance where Keon Smith was claimed and put on the practice squad and had to earn his way up. No, everybody was safe. Everybody was safe and everybody was good. And they never turned the bottom of the roster. How many claims did they make last year that weren't injury related?
To fill out the roster. They made moves, just certainly not as many as they did before. And I think
Cole Strange was like a move that saved the season, and that's turning the bottom of the roster.
Yes, Greg Dulcich is saved the season. They were 7-10. How much saving did he do?
You were Keon Smith, you would have been 3-14. Wow. Keon Smith was the starter that Cole Strange replaced. You do remember that, right?
They could have – technically replaced Daniel Brunskill, because Brunskill replaced Keon Smith in that Buffalo game, and then the office said, no, we're good. We've seen enough. Cole, get in there. Anyway.
Nobi also said – get TD. Sorry, you've been trying to say something.
No, I was just going to say, I think this year the difference between now and 2019 – You have a lot more higher draft picks that you got to give an opportunity to see if they'll make it. Mm-hmm. We cleaned house in 2019. It was like bare.
Hold on, we had high draft picks. Christian Wilkins had the play. Michael Dieter started every game, even though he didn't deserve to. Andrew Van Ginkel was only held back because he was hurt first half of the season. Mm-hmm. Chandler Cox was a starting fullback. Miles Gaskin was a starting back.
Omar, they had a first, a third, and a fifth. Dolphins.
We're talking about draft capital. Like, we got a lot of high priority draft capital on this.
Three
first,
four
a third.
And they, a had, fifth. They had three picks in the first five rounds this year. They had 11.
All right. That's fair.
Nobi said, when actually at a Dolphin game, where do you guys like to sit? I just said this before. Where do you guys like to sit to get the best view for reporting purposes? Oh, that's for them. Let me and TD will tell you where
all, we like. All of our seats are horrible now, in because all of the press box seats have been sold to people who are, you know, paying money.
Wow. Where do y'all sit?
We sit in the I'm like the where they come out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
That's my view, where they come out of the tunnel.
In the tunnel?
No. No, like up high, well, above the second level.
The guys like to take pictures of like the field before. So,
wow. I don't want to feel. Yeah. Huh?
But like, yeah.
Wow. But everybody is like that. Everybody in NFL. Buffalo was like the last stadium where we had like 50-yard viewpoints, and then they renovated the stadium and moved us to the ends end zone.
You got a little TV in the parking lot.
Dallas, I might as well watch the screen. Like, the players are like ants. Like,
that's so bad.
You're so high.
Because I was going to say, if I had to choose, you know, a lot of times people want like 50-yard line, row one. No, for me, I would like 50-yard line, but like, give me like the beginning. Like, as soon as you walk out of the tunnel, I'll go up so I can see everything. Because when I went to the MetLife Takeover, we were on the 30-yard line, 10 rows up, And once you're on the other side, you can't see anything. So you have to look up them. I want to see everything.
Yeah, it's what people don't realize is, and I know this is kind of productive to NFL fans, but you get such a better experience watching from home than you do actually at the stadium.
I agree.
And I agree. As much as it sucks because you have to pay for it, but when you watch Thursday Night Football on Prime and they have that new view, I forgot what it's called, where it's not the side view, it's the, like you're playing Madden. Yeah, and they light up who's open. It's so much better. You see everything. Yeah. You see who's lined up, how many. It's.
I went the whole season and didn't know that until like the end, that they had that those different views on.
Yeah,
on
they had like, I think it was.
You can watch it as a cartoon, everything. Like, it's crazy. But no, I'm a nosebleed guy. I gotta have really? Nosebleed. Except in Dallas. Like Omar said, that's the worst. You might well watch the screen. Don't look at the field. But I'm a nosebleed guy. Put me way up there on the 50. I want to see it all.
Yeah. Tampa probably might have the – no, Tampa's in the end zone. There are no more good seats left for media members. And truthfully speaking, nobody cares about us because we don't pay tickets. So, and the value of being there is actually going to the locker room after the game mm-hmm. and being able to ask the questions that you folks have about the team, that whether they won or lost, and tell that story.
Go follow Omar and Allen. Red Hood with the fiver says, watching how Portugal did Ronaldo makes me realize how bad the Dolphins wasted Marino's talent. Shake my head. Trash organizations never change.
Allen, respond to that.
How did they waste Marino's talent? Seriously? I mean, come on.
They never got him a running game. When
do you think that perhaps the fact they had Marino quarterback and sacrificed everything for the passing game played a part in maybe the Dolphins not having a great running game, in addition to the fact that Marino, as great of a passer as he was maybe about as brutal a quarterback as there ever was in terms of ball handling and play and fakes and all that? I think –
How dare you?
I told you, damn right I'm daring. This is a narrative that's driven me crazy. A
genuine how dare – how dare – didn't he change the plays a lot too? Didn't Marino change the plays a lot too?
Yeah, that was – and then Jimmy made him stop doing it.
Yeah.
The ball basically every down and the Dolphins –
I'll do it live.
But hold on, Poupard. In 1998, when they had a 10-6 record, their yards per carry average was 3.4 yards. That's dismal.
What's your point?
It's come on. The next year it was 3.3 yards, 9-7.
Okay, you're picking, first of all, and Marino also wasn't a threat as much as a passer then because he was at the end of his career. Why don't you look at some of the earlier years?
All right, 3.5, 3.1, 97, 3.1 yards per carry. That is
laughable. Again, you're at the end of his career. Can you go back into the 80s maybe?
92.
Okay. All right. To go back to what years would you like me to go?
I'll go like 85, 86, 87, 88, 90.
Okay, all right. Okay, 84 was 4.0. 85 was 3.9. 86 was 4.4. That must have been a good year, but they were 8-8.
No, they were in 8. They were in 8.
4.1, 3.6, 3.3. See, that was when.
By the way, last I checked, the coach during Marino's career was Don Shula. Are we calling Don Shula a bad coach? Come on now.
Woodward.
I mean, it would have been. I remember when I was a kid and a fan. That's something I rarely admit. You know, like Mark Higgs, Terry Kirby. Like, come on. Man.
When they went to the Super Bowl,
your running backs needed to be receivers and also good blockers because everything was about the passing game. And I'm sorry, that's this notion that the Dolphins did Marino wrong. Is there another also? Yeah, the Dolphins never had a good defense when Marino was there. Is it maybe because the offense never possessed the ball and they turned it over a little bit? Could that have played a role in it?
Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your week. We will see you Friday. I think we're going to go live at 12:30. I think we're going to change it up. No pre-record. We'll be live 12:30 Friday. Be fun. But go check out Omar Kelly, Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Finstalk, YouTube.com/TD Finstalk, myself, YouTube.com/Doug Lee Duron. We are out. Like I said, enjoy the rest of your week. Goodbye.